Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
Hey, everybody. It is Coach Chris here from the Play in Faith podcast. I am excited. We have got an awesome episode today. It's been a long time coming. We've got the commissioner of the Crossroads League, Mr. Larry DeSimplar. It's going to be a fantastic day. So, Larry, I know you are remote, like a lot of our guests are pretty local. So where are you right now and how is everything going?
Well, I live currently on the east side of Jackson. My wife is a school teacher here in the public school system, just on the west side, actually, of Jackson. And so we relocated back here. I'm originally from Michigan, grew up in a little farm community in the Thumb of Michigan. Nice. Man, I did everything in my power when I was a young man to get off that farm. And then when I had kids and grew up, I'd give anything to go back. It was a great way to grow up, and thankful for two amazing parents. My mom turned 84 yesterday, doing wonderful.
Wow. Happy birthday.
So we're very thankful for that. So it was nice to come back after almost a 30 some year hiatus.
Wow.
You know, and just coming back to Michigan, being close to family, has been really special, especially as both my wife's mom's getting, you know, our parents are getting older, and not that right now they've been tremendous. They haven't needed our care or any of that, but it's nice to be around them here when and if it ever does happen.
Good to have you around, right? For sure. So
yeah.
Back home in Michigan. So obviously it's been quite a journey. So I'm going to start with one that some people at home might be snickering right now. And I bet a lot of people are like, I really don't know the answer to this one either. Mm-hmm. So we have tons of coaches on. We have tons of athletes of all ages, high school, college, professional. You are our first league commissioner to come up with athletic directors. So what does this job entail? Because I think for the average person, they just picture like Adam Silver and, you know, maybe Roger Goodell. And they seem to be just like meat shields for complaints. And they show up at events. But like, what exactly are you doing? This is a really big job that you're doing. So tell me a little bit. What do you do as the commissioner of the Crossroads League?
Well, I can guarantee you my salary has a lot less zeros than those folks do.
Yeah, and that Goodell's doing all right.
Yeah, that's no complaint as to I love my job. It's weird, right? I spent 30 some years as a coach, and I got a call 9 years ago from a friend who said, "Hey, you know, I'd love for you to take a look at this job." And I really kind of blew him off and said, "Ah, listen, I'm a coach. I don't know."
Yeah.
Really the first thing about administration. And it's a lot of, you know, his things were, listen, Larry, you're a people person. This is kind of the nature of the business. And he's right. There's a big component of that. The part he didn't talk about was the backside part of it, about when you have to work on procedure manuals and rules and somewhat enforcement of rules. That becomes a little bit more
very different than coaching,
challenge.
Right? Yeah, it's a little bit more of a desk job component where, you know,
for
like
sure.
Coaching and you're a basketball coach, you know, it's get some wins, get some losses, you know, how we defend in ball screens, what are our sub rotations, and a lot different life now.
Chris, that's exactly right. I tell people all the time, hey, if you want to talk pick and roll offense or pick and roll defense, I'm your guy, man. We can talk for hours on just that one subject.
I might bring you into my girls today then.
There you go.
But
when you start talking about Robert's Rules of Order and how to run a professional meeting how you put forward proposals and how you change legislation or how you even create legislation, and whether it's a bylaw or a procedure manual or a guideline, and those are the things that are probably the most tedious for me. And in fact, this morning before I got on the call with you, we're putting together a new form just to try to always, we always want to make the student athlete experience just a little bit better.
Sure.
And again, our league is special. We fall under the umbrella of faith, which makes vast majority of our coaches work really well together. Honest, a lot of, you know, tons of integrity, but it also is really super competitive. And when it gets really super competitive, we all have moments. I've often said competition is great. It can bring out the best and it can bring out the absolute worst in all of us.
I think we've all
So,
been there. I think that is one
yes.
of the big misnomers that I said when I put this out is that people, because we obviously have a faith-based component. It's called Play in Faith. There's
Sure.
a cross in the logo. We're not gonna beat you over the head with it. But at the end of the day, we are unabashedly Christian in our mission while we
You
love
bet.
sports, and that's the vehicle. But being a Christian doesn't make us perfect. In fact, it makes us almost more openly willing to
Yeah.
admit that we are not. And
Absolutely.
sports does. I don't know what it is. I said it to my wife. Like, we've been to a bunch of tournaments this weekend, and every single sporting event we go to, there's at least one thing where we look at each other and we're like, oh my goodness. Like, just this
Yeah.
weekend, we're at a volleyball tournament. I look over at my wife and I'm like, I think these folks have money on the game. They know these girls are 11, right? I mean, it was like crazy. They're running onto the court because the score was wrong with like the 10-year-old. I mean, yeah. So sports brings out, it brings out some emotions, man. So how do you manage all that? Because obviously you've got a bunch of member institutions.
Yeah.
While they all have the same basic goal, everyone is going to be looking out for their particular university first, but as well they
For
should.
sure.
So
Absolutely.
how do you balance some of that as you're dealing with all these sports and all these schools?
Well, I think the hierarchy of how this really would look, if you were to look at it like a business flow chart, you have our 10 presidents across the top, and maybe
Sure.
above that, 10 of those 10 presidents would be like the chair of that group, the Council of Presidents, which we call the COP. They
Okay.
have a chair, and then that person is in charge of organizing our meetings, and I work with them on putting together whatever it is that they want on the agenda, stuff we need to deal with. And then underneath them would be me as the commissioner, and then my spokes would roll out to the 10 athletic directors. And so I often say I work for the 10 presidents and I work with the 10 athletic directors. And ultimately, though, our athletic directors are really the people that are. They're the real decision makers in this group. And I wouldn't say you have to be humble to be a commissioner by any means, but you have to be a good listener.
Oh,
You
sure.
have to hear what people have to say. You have to take in their consideration, take in their point of view. And then on occasion, you have to disagree. And you have to try to think about it from the standpoint of what is the big picture for the league, not just for your specific institution. And sometimes that can be the most challenging part of it. And simple stuff, right? Like if somebody if and we don't have this happen very often, but I want to support my athletic directors when they are in a moment of crisis or could be something with a coach, could be, ejections, could be language that doesn't represent us, it could be behavior that doesn't represent the league. And so you try to help manage that. And in the second component of the way that looks, I often say in a very much more dumbed down version, but also very important, I'm really kind of like the mom and the dad of the league in the sense that as moms, and especially like my mom, and hopefully, right, those who've got great moms, they're the great encouragers. They're the lovers. They're the ones that put their arms around us the most
Sure.
and, have us believing in each other. And then when we're in trouble, they also say, wait until your dad gets home.
The hammer
And
comes.
then that's the part where it's not the enjoyable part, but I do find over the time that I've been doing it, maybe the most important thing is consistency. Right, like you just got to really be able to try to see things clearly. I'm sure. I mean, again, I think back to people like Mark DeMichael, who was the athletic director at Indiana Wesleyan, and Chad Briscoe, who is our current national athletic director of the year. Right,
Yeah,
he's the
Chad's been on
NAI's
here.
choice for the national director of the year.
He was
They're
our very
great
first
mentors.
episode. Chad was our
Yeah, I
very
mean,
first
Chad's
episode.
great.
Yeah,
Mike
he's awesome.
McCaffrey, who's at St. Francis, is tremendous. I mean, those people really kind of guided me by my hand and said, okay, Larry, listen, you've got some things that you're really good at, but here's some things that you really need help on. And they were patient, and hopefully we've been able to serve the league well. It's provided some kind of unique opportunities at the national level, so I've got some responsibilities there now, with a couple more coming ahead that are kind of time-consuming, bigger picture deal. But you also got to have the good balance of not just what's good now for the Crossroads League and pushing Crossroads League agenda, but what's good for the entire NAIA.
See, I think that's what's tough. And I think coaching background might actually help here because I was just working on an article this morning where obviously I coach little kids in comparison to college athletes. We run like our youth development program. But we're already getting to the point where, as the kids get older, we're having some of those tough conversations. Everybody wants to play. We're reaching the age where that's not realistic. And sometimes I can give you honesty, compassion, care, but I may not always be able to give you the answer that you want. Right? It's like the all-star snubs every year. People screaming from the mountaintops of who got left off. And it's like, okay, perfect. I agree. He's an all-star. Who do you want to remove? Oh. Right. And so I imagine you're in a lot of these situations, just like coaching, where there is a overarching league goal. There are some individual goals from different people. So I think that's I mean, it really is like you're a coach because you're trying to get a win and a positive result, but also manage everyone's satisfaction and growth. And that's a lot. That's a lot.
Well, you hit two really good topics. When I was coaching, I used Ephesians 4:15 all the time, that truth and love is really important. Some coaches can deliver truth without a whole lot of love, or what doesn't appear to be a lot of love, but truth is really the ultimate sign of love. Like when we're really willing to tell them the truth, then, and again, as the coaches, we happen to be the leaders of that team. Same thing I would say to my kids, especially when they were growing up, is like, listen, I may not be the dad that you want, but I am always going to be the dad that you need. Same thing for us in coaching, right? Like fair is not equal, equal is not fair. There's a reality. And there is always different
So
levels,
hard at every
right?
age too, as they get
You
older
bet.
and older. It's a tough transition. You know, like my fifth grade crew, like we take some losses because you know what? Everyone's gonna play, and yeah, could we have won? Who cares, right? We're not trying to win a
You bet.
U10 like a national title. Like who cares? But as you get into eighth grade, high school, no, and then obviously at the college level, there's
For sure.
no more coddling, but. I think there is a little bit though, right? I mean, with the transfer portal, like, you know, how do we
Oh, God.
balance? How do we balance wanting to make sure this person stays in our program, but also what's best for the team? So I do think, like, I know you joked, like, I'm just a coach. It actually is a really cool background for this level of leadership and balancing all those dynamics. So let's dive in. Tell everyone about a little bit about your coaching background, because obviously, I try not to do all hoops talk on here, but man, the hoops people just find me. I just love it too much. I don't know.
Well, we could spend two or three more podcasts on the disaster of NIL money and where college athletics is.
I know.
I just sent
I don't
a
know how
couple
you guys do it.
articles
Oh, I don't know.
maybe about th 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think it was Sports Illustrated wrote a huge article on Rutgers and the amount of money they're lose have lost since joining the Big Ten. And Rutgers is one of the places I coached at in my 10 years, so it caught my attention just
Well,
because of
Cronin went
that.
off
And
about that too. The UCLA
oh,
coach, Lee Cronin,
sure,
just went off
absolutely.
about, like, you know, hey, this guy's an amazing coach, but I mean, we have very disparate payrolls. And it just doesn't sound normal to people who are longtime college basketball fans. Like, wait, what?
Well, if
Wait,
anybody
no.
listens closely to Mick Cronin, he's going off on something almost every day, and
Yeah,
sometimes his own players, right?
it's a
He's the
lot.
first coach I've ever seen who ejected his own player during the game at
He's had
Michigan
a
State. I'm
wild
like,
week, man. He's like railing against that. But anyway, yeah, Rutgers, your school came up there because he was talking about like, hey, Pikel's an amazing coach. But I mean, what's he
He
supposed to
is.
do? What's he supposed to
He
do?
is. I'm a huge fan of Steve Peichel,
Yeah.
and again, it's a lot of coaches removed since we were there, but and it goes, but anyway, I was really fortunate, Chris. I became the head basketball coach at Concordia College at the time, Concordia University, when I was 23 years old. I had a
Crazy.
teaching degree, and I had been named the high school boys basketball coach. I was going to teach mathematics at N Jackson Northwest, right here. My wife actually taught there for a few years when we moved back here. And and so the job, I don't know, you know, I was 23 years old, and when you factored in I was going to coach girls JV softball, freshman girls basketball, and I was the varsity boys basketball coach. And I was thrilled to be the varsity boys basketball coach. The athletic director Wayne McDonald says, "Larry, I have no problem hiring you." He goes, "You're young. I think you'll do a good job." He says, "I'm just concerned that you won't stay." And I said, "Wayne, I honestly." The only thing I'm going to leave for is a college opportunity. I do want to coach collegiately. Well, sure enough, fast forward to the end of that summer, I got an opportunity to go coach at Concordia College. Now, keep in mind, my salary was going to be north of $40,000-ish in 1991 or whatever this
That's not
was.
terrible though. Like my
No.
brother-in-law's a college baseball coach, and his first salary was 0.0. He worked for free
Yeah.
99 at the Air Force. So, I mean,
Well,
you were raking it in 91 then.
that was for the high school job. That was going to be the high school job. And the college job, they said, is for 1 year only. You can interview for the job your second year, and you're going to make $16,000. No guarantees you get the job, whatever. And my dad looked at me and he goes, "Son, this is the dumbest decision in the world. Like, what are you doing?"
Look at you now.
And then, I mean, again, talk about how we were terrible. We won four games, but I was retained. I think mostly retained because maybe they thought, I think I was a better, maybe just a better person with a little bit of stability and maybe a little more mature than the normal 23 or 24-year-old, although my wife would
The low
definitely
bar.
disagree. Yeah, she would definitely disagree. And
Just
anyway,
kidding, young
they,
listeners.
yes, the, yeah, and it turned out to be I got to coach there for 4 more years. I met my wife there. She was a former player there. She was teaching down in Florida. She came back for a summer camp, met her immediately, fell in love with her, and obviously 31 years later, we're still together. I think at the time she thought, wow, this is really cool. This guy's the basketball coach, and she thought that might be a really cool career. And then
Well,
she
that's
found
really
out when
wow.
you're the assistant basketball coach at the Division I level, it's not great. I mean, when I was coaching at Rutgers, I can remember calling her from the ESPN zone. We were hosting a recruit. My steak was getting cold, I'm sure. And I was checking in, and my son, who was maybe a year at the time, had just barfed up his, beanies and weenies on her. And she's in tears, and she's by her, she's, she, we have, my daughter is a little bit older than her, or, she's about 5 years older than my son, but, had a little, but just no support. Our families are in Michigan, and here we
Yeah,
out in New York and New
it's
Jersey
crazy.
and trying to survive it. And so she was really the mainstay. I mean, I'm so
Yeah.
fortunate to have this woman in my life. But I met her there. We got married, and then we went to Kent State for 5 years. We had a really fun experience at Kent. Kent, Ohio was a great
What
place
year were
for
you at
us.
Kent? What year?
We were there from 97 to 2001.
So, oh, is it 02? It's 02 when they made the crazy
02.
run, right?
So all of those kids, seven of those
Like
players,
Antonio
were
Gates and
seniors. Yeah, and
oh
Antonio
wow,
was a
get out
kid.
of
We
here.
didn't coach Antonio, but played a part in helping him get there. And then, so Trevor Huffman, Demetric Shaw, Andrew Mitchell, Jeff
Wow.
Vaughn, John Wharton, like there were some amazing young men, Eric Thomas, that were a part of that team that went on.
Yeah.
And in the year before, we had beaten Mike Davis in Indiana, in the first round of the tournament. Then we lost to Cincinnati in the second round of the
Yeah, I
tournament.
don't know why I remember this. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just a child,
Yeah.
like screaming at my TV. But I'm like, wait a second. I knew you had been at Kent State, and then it just dawned on me. And I'm like, so I was just out of college and living down in Florida, and my dad, just to do a little trip, that game was in Lexington. My dad bought me a plane ticket, and we went because that
Yeah.
was the Duke Indiana regional, and then
Yeah.
y'all screwed it up. So.
Well, think about that too. Like, I mean, the well, Indiana was that year, the year we screwed it up for sure. But the
Yeah.
next year, I mean, think Indiana was a team like Kent State was a game away from going to the Final
Yeah,
Four.
we were at that one. That one was crazy. Yeah, because like Duke was there
And
too, and they got
right, I
upset
mean,
by IU, and
Coverdale and those guys from
yeah.
Indiana, they had some Fife. Right, Dane has been a great friend of mine for a long time. That like they just like anybody else. If Kent State would have played anybody else, I mean, if you would go back to that game, Indiana might have hit like their first seven threes. Like they were just they you could just tell that there was still that hangover from what we had beaten them the year before, and it was that is such a there's so many stories about that.
Yeah.
I'd love to go back to him again. Stan Heath coached that team for 1 year. Stan and I have been friends since he was a assistant coach at Albion when I was a head coach at Concordia. I mean,
Wow.
our lot, he was at Bowling Green when I was at Kent State, and then he went to Michigan State, and then we played a pretty good hand in helping him get the job there. He's there for 1 year, goes to Arkansas, right? Like, I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah, yeah.
that team was so built for success, but Stan really did a great job. He played a different
Oh,
style than
wow.
we did and all this. So anyway,
Yeah.
Stan went to Arkansas. We went to Rutgers. We were out at Rutgers for 5 years. Got to coach some really awesome kids while we were out there. Quincy Doobie was a
Sure.
kid who
Oh,
was
yeah.
drafted 17th overall out of
Yeah.
Rutgers and played for us. He was a Coney Island kid that I still talk to all the time. Great, great
That's
young
awesome.
man. And then after we were asked to leave Rutgers, they
Well, that is,
politely
we'll
said,
get to that part in a second because that
yeah,
is the unfortunate reality of that industry,
sure,
right?
yep. And we ended up at Cleveland State,
Good
and I
school.
was with Gary Waters for all 25 years,
Wow.
starting together at Eastern Michigan. I kind of skipped that over. After I left Concordia, I went to Eastern Michigan for 1 year, and we had a great year that year, 1996. We beat Duke in the first round of the tournament. We had a lot of people, if they can go back to it, we had a diminutive little point guard named Earl Boykins.
I know who
And
that is too. Yeah,
Earl
sure.
was an amazing player. He's an
Tourney
amazing human
legend.
being. Yes, played 13 years in the league at 5'5". I mean, I literally was a coach at Concordia, and I was over just to watch a practice. And I remember asking Gary Waters, we were not working together. I was just getting to know them a little bit. I was a head coach there. He was an assistant at Eastern. And I said, I was watching him out there. I said, "You're gonna let the ball boy play?" And he goes, "Oh, you think he's
Wait
a ball
60
boy?"
seconds.
And Gary, back then, NCAA rules, Gary couldn't watch. He goes, let me watch for about a half an hour. Come tell me what you think. And I was like, holy crap. Like, are you kidding me? Like, who is this kid? So great story, fun stuff. Loved my career. Thankful to be the commissioner now.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't think I would want to go back into college coaching. I mean, I have dear friends who are in it, and I've been asked a couple times, maybe three or four
Oh,
over the
yeah.
last 9 years, but
So
it's a different
let's
monster.
land there then. So like you hear all the time, like coaching is in your blood. I get how it can become like a complete obsession, right? We run this ministry, we have three or four other businesses, and my wife and I will wake up on a Saturday morning talking about how we're going to break a press in a kids basketball game, right? Like it becomes a mission. So we'll go two directions here. The thing you miss most about coaching and the thing you miss the least.
Oh, easily the relationships. I
Yeah.
miss the one-on-ones. I miss those kids coming into my office seeking advice. I often said this, and I would want everybody to hear it, right? Because again, these Division I athletes, they come in and they think they're the B every one of them is the BMOC, right? The big man on
Oh,
campus, and
well,
all the
sure they
girls are
were.
flocking to him. And it got to be a thing where when they started to get kind of serious about a girl, they would almost always inevitably bring them into my office. I get like, and I might see them at the cafeteria or something and be like, "Hey, what's going on?" And I would sit this girl down and I go, "Hey, look at him, right? He looks good right now, right? He's all yoked out, his biceps, he's got great abs, right? He says he looks good, he's the man on campus." I go, "And you, young lady, you get to choose him. Like, you do. That's your choice. You get to choose him." I said, "But man, your kids, they don't get to choose their dad. You do. So don't just look at the exterior. Make sure you're looking in here, right? His heart's got to be right." And then, of course, my players would be like, "Coach, what are you doing? You're killing me,
I
right?"
know. What are you
Like,
doing,
I'm
coach?
like, "No, I'm not killing you. I'm helping you." Like,
Yeah.
again, this is, and it's funny, the ones that have had wonderful marriages and have gone on, they'll come back. I mean, Norris Cole, it's a name people might know from
Yeah, he.
this, right? He won a couple championships with, he just got married. He's 37 years old, just got married. And he's calling me the other day. His wife, Kelsey's in there, and he wants to complain about, I don't know, something about his freshman year or something that I didn't play enough minutes. And I got to remind him that he's using an inhaler. But those guys would come in and just know that I wanted it to always be more than just basketball. Now, don't get me wrong. We did
Yeah.
a lot of basketball. We watched a lot of film. We had a lot of hard conversations. But the
Sure.
most important thing that any of those young men can do is find the right spouse, the right person to share your life with. That's the blessing that God has for you. And I know the trappings of life and the trappings of being a Division I
Sure.
athlete is that there's a lot of people throwing
A
themselves
lot of
around and
options.
a lot of options.
Sure.
And just right to really, and to our young people, the young ladies that came in there too, I wanted them to know the same thing. Like, listen, this is a huge deal. And it's funny, I have a niece who's 20 years old, and she's a college student now, and she just told me at Christmas, she goes, "Uncle Larry," she goes, She goes, "You told that story just kind of innocuously to us, right?" And she goes, "I think about it all the time. Like all the time, I think about like, hey, whoever I date, this is the potential father of my kids." And I'm like, "Well, I'm not nearly as worried about you as I was about those other ones, but for sure, right? It's the same
Yeah.
message, it's the same thing, and it's the experience I had from my parents being married 63 years to my wife and I being married 31 years, right? To the commitment to what that is. And God love my wife, she put up with a whole lot of stuff for 30 years, and the last nine, it's been nice to be able to give back a little bit more." And like we were talking about off air, I'll be able to go and spend 3 days with my daughter.
Yeah.
If I was still coaching, I could, I don't know if I could spend 3 days with my wife,
It's
you know?
yeah, I mean, yeah, we have
So.
talked to a ton of coaches. It's a sacrifice. So obviously I think that it's funny as we talk about all of the competitiveness and everything, almost everyone tells me it's the relationships. It's a
You're right.
relationship unlike any other. There's such a closeness there. So how about miss the least? Because obviously you're
Well,
doing a very different job now. Same
yeah.
arena, but completely different day-to-day operation. What do you
Yeah.
miss the least?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that our time, my time, was never our own. The demands of the job required. I'll just give you a
Yeah.
quick example. My wife and I are in our 20-year wedding anniversary. We got married in August. That week we were there, and I got a call midway through, and Gary said, "Couldn't tell you what the player's name is today, is going to be on campus on Friday. I need you here. And you have to explain to your wife that I'm going to leave this vacation and plan that we had to go do that." And that's, again, I was the assistant coach. So you are, and honestly, I tell people this all the time. I really wasn't that good. There are guys in this profession that are crazy good at what they do. Crazy good. I was loyal. Thankfully, my parents growing up on a farm, I learned how to work and work
Yeah,
hard.
for
And
sure.
so that part has never been an issue. I'm thankful for that part being instilled in me. But the life work balance of what this job is today is just simply better, because I still get some relationship stuff for
Oh,
sure.
sure.
It's just not as in depth as it
Right.
was. But I love the ADs that I work for, and when I do get time with presidents, I appreciate their insight and influence and their big thinking and the
Yeah.
response. But I do not miss, and I don't miss being gone all summer. If you're a
Yeah.
college recruiter,
Oh, the
you're
grind.
gone like from
Yeah.
July 1st to July 31st, and
Yeah, that's
that
definitely
stinks.
a ton. So
Yep.
as we kind of transition into your life now, so you spent a lot of time coaching, obviously at the D1 level. I mean, just some of the names we're rattling off. These are names that anyone who's a basketball fan probably knows a lot of them, not just
Sure.
the nerds like me. There's a lot of people like, oh my gosh. So Crossroads League is excellent, right? You're getting some of the best high school players in the Midwest. I mean, I look in our town, like all state guys. But it's a different level than Rutgers, right? You're not playing on ESPN at 7 o'clock. You aren't in a regional final against Indiana, right? So as you kind of transition, what's the biggest difference in how you serve athletics at the Crossroads League versus the D1, where it is, I mean, let's just be honest, it's a business at this point, more
Sure.
than even more than when you were coaching. It's an absolute business. So is it different at the Crossroads League? And what kind of makes your league special? I've got my opinion,
Yeah.
but
Well, 100%. I mean, I think just again, I'm so fortunate because we fall under the umbrella of faith, and it's not
yeah.
just something where it's words. It's really it's seen in action. And again, we have moments.
Of
We've had
course.
tough moments, right? There's times where we have to deal with things, because not every single one of our institutions, maybe half or a little bit more, do require a statement of faith to attend the institution, and other ones don't. It's not required. And so I honestly like that a lot. I think we're called to bring all people, right? We're not, Jesus did not come just to he came to save the sinners, man,
Right. It is kind of
as
funny
we
because I
all
mean, not that
are.
there's like levels of Christianity, but
Sure.
I mean, there are levels of intensity with it. And I know like we
Absolutely.
live in the backyard of one of your schools and there's a very strict honor code. There's a statement of faith.
Yep.
And I know some other schools may not. I've talked to a lot of your coaches about the fact that, yes, this is a faith-based institution, but there's a lot of them that like are recruiting kids who may not quite be exactly there in their journey yet. So
Well,
that's
to
a
be
very
that good, for
unique
sure,
dynamic,
right?
right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when your league has got I mean, Gray spent a whole bunch of time at the number one team
Oh,
on the
yeah.
men's side, right? Bethel's really good. Indiana Wesleyan's really good. And that's just the top three or four, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Your programs are incredible. We've had like Jason Lukowicz was on your AD over at Bethel, and then well, Kyle Mangus, NBA player, was one of our first guests too, Iowa legend. And so yeah, you guys are playing big time sports like across the board,
No
not just
question.
basketball, like every sport, but it is a little different mission. Does that mean that winning is not important?
Oh no, for sure.
Exactly.
Go back to I'm gonna screw up who gave this quote, but winning is not our purpose. Winning is always our goal. It's not our purpose, right? That
I
is
like it.
that's a great statement by an author. I'm sure he's back here on my but
We'll make our folks Google it. No, I think that's an
yeah.
awesome way to look at it, that there's a big difference between not caring about winning and not being willing to win the wrong way.
For
And I just
sure.
think that we just lack nuance in everything. Even when we talk to youth coaches, they're like, well, we just care about player development. We don't care about winning. And I was like, well,
Yeah.
I don't see why those are mutually exclusive goals.
Well,
Like,
for sure, right?
can't we care about all of those things and just still do it the right way?
I think we want you, everybody wants to win. It just depends
Sure.
on, do you want to beat somebody and just because they're less talented, right? Talent is going to win out everywhere. So that's why I recruit, right? If you were to talk about, my boss used to say all the time, guys, there's six ways we win: recruiting, 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 scheduling, 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 right? Like it's pretty simple, right? It is. And
It is the truth.
if you get better talent, you're going to have a better chance to win. And then you implement your philosophy and you implement your culture and you put
Of
those
course.
things together. And I am 100% agreeing. When you're in youth, it's got to be about get those kids to love the game, be united, teach them how to be great teammates. Because think about the natural outcomes. And this is just for me as a coach. I went to church every Sunday morning, and just the average person. The average person. Now, when my daughter and son were playing in high school, and or in college, you go to church Sunday morning. Games are always Saturday. Hey, how'd you guys do? Did you win?
Oh, first question. Yeah. How
First
many points
question:
did you
did you
score and
win?
did you win?
Yeah. And then the next thing is, if you didn't win, if you were a kid like my kids, well, how'd you do? How many points you got? Oh, you scored 18. Oh, great, good for you. We are, and again, it's not. There's nothing bad about it. There's
Sure.
nothing. It is just the normalcy of what people would ask in polite conversation to say, like, oh, okay, even though you lost, you played really well. So good. You should feel good about yourself. So we are indoctrinating our kids in this bad way. And it just goes to hyper speed when you get to collegiate because those kids have been told how great they are. I mean, it was Jim Boeheim. I mean, this is years and years ago. No, not Jim Boeheim. Bobby Cremins. Bobby Cremins, the old coach at Wake Forest. I think where about no Georgia Tech.
Georgia
Bobby
Tech,
Cremins at
okay.
Georgia Tech, and he said, "God, we, and Bobby Cremins got that New York accent, right? And he's like, "We tell these kids how great they are for 4 years, and then we get them on campus, and we got to tell them how terrible they are, right?" Like he really kind of identified when you're recruiting these kids, you're telling them, "Yeah, you're the guy. You're gonna run my program, blah blah blah." And then all of a sudden, you get him on campus, and he turns the ball over seven times a game. You're like, "Yeah, I can't have you out there." So that part is definitely winning is a value to it. That is the thing that, again, if I was to be honest, the reason why I have any leadership responsibilities at the NAI is not because I'm very smart or articulate. It's
Oh,
because
you're
I
doing all right.
represent a league that embodies all the goodness of what kind of the NAIA does too. We're highly successful. Shoot, my bowling coaches would murder me if I don't talk about the fact that we are the reigning national champions in bowling. We're the reigning national champions in cross country, both men and women.
I saw that
We're
one.
the reigning volleyball national champions
Saw that one
three
too.
years in a row, right? And then a lot of us, like we do talk about basketball has kind of been the maybe a little bit of the flagship sport,
Well, yeah, you guys
but
a couple teams that
every
got some national
yeah.
attention too, and the
It wasn't that
Greensboros
long
put up
ago
like
Bethel won the
180.
national championship in soccer. Spring Arbor's won multiple national championships in women's soccer. I mean, the league is so stupid good. It's
It is.
just fun to sit back and watch. And our coaches are they're brilliant because they execute the stuff that is required to be a national champion. To be a national champion is it's so much more than just talent. Talent matters, no question.
Sure.
everywhere we go, talent matters. But when you can blend all of it, oh my gosh, that's when you get to that superior level.
Yeah, well, you guys just have such amazing institutions. And one of the things, as we kind of wind down here, I always joke that I try to shoot for a half hour.
I know.
I never make it.
We didn't make, we're
I
already
wind
way
up talking for like 10
over.
hours. But so as we kind of like wind it down and you look at one of the conversations I find fascinating, I think I've had it on some degree with a couple of your ADs, specifically, I believe it was Chad, like way back. There's this notion in youth sports, especially AAU culture, where everything's D1, 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 get that scholarly, get that scholarship, push, 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 push. And we talked a lot about like, look, there's nothing wrong with that, right? And look, you guys aren't recruiting head to head against Duke and Kentucky. But when we get into some of those like low major D1 programs or some of those D2s, there's this push sometimes for kids that go to the biggest level that will let you be there, right? And whether it's a good fit, whether you're studying what you want, whether you're going to play. And talked a lot about, you know, sometimes it's just finding the best fit for you. I think a lot of kids are finding that fit in your league. You're getting elite, all-state caliber level talent. So what advice would you have for a high school athlete that says, you know, I think what these Crossroad League schools are a good home for me. It's great culture. It's wonderful schools. I'm going to have a ton of success. I'm going to have campus support. So, what advice would you have for someone who's trying to get there? Because the standards are a little different at a Crossroad League school than they are at like a JUCO or a typical D2.
Yeah. Listen to the Play in Faith podcast because I think you just nailed it. Honestly, I mean,
Good
all of
plug.
those things, you know, again, I was talking about my nieces. I have a 17-year-old junior niece, and I won't even mention the campus I was at, but I was on a campus and I called my sister and said, make sure you bring her here. She needs to see this, right? Like, she just needs to witness what's going on here. And because I'm not thinking she's not going to play a sport, I don't think. I mean, but I just want her to be around people that are that have this mission mindset, that have a bigger. And again, if you're thinking that you're going to the NBA, again, Kyle Mangus
Exactly. You
is
can
going to
get
have
there
an
from here.
opportunity, right?
Yeah, unreal.
But that's a byproduct, right? When we took Norris Cole, right, Norris Cole was going to go to a Division II Walsh University. I mean, NAI Walsh University. It's now Division II. But that's where he was going. He was going to go play football and basketball. And he came to us kind of as a, we kind of took a chance on him and he took a chance on us. And then all he did is put his head down and work. You can make the experiences. I always think about a couple of things, all right? The three things that have meant the most in my life. First and foremost, my relationship with God. Thank goodness for my mom and dad that presented that, gave that to me, and made it a part of my foundation. And it got only enhanced when I went to college. I was so fortunate because I played in a school in this league, right? So that's special to me. Like, there's a
Sure.
uniqueness to that. Number two, the woman I met and married, like, the maybe me right
Most
below
important
Jesus, right?
decision
Because
you're gonna
Jesus
make,
gave
yeah.
it to me. There's no question. And then third, the relationships that I have. Like, the relationships are founded. And I use this kind of analogy, and I'll try to make this quick for us. Like, I'm not a smoker, I'm not a drinker, right? Okay. That doesn't mean that I'm not gonna have friends who smoke and drink, right?
Sure.
But if smoking and drinking is a prerequisite to be your friend, yeah, I'm gonna spend my time other places. I'm not gonna waste my time in areas. And there's absolutely no judgment on those choices that you make, right?
Sure.
But if you're gonna judge me on it, that's a different story, right? Because I want to be following on a path that I hope is more biblical. Lord knows I fail all the time. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you how many times I fail. But we should always be searching for that goal. The Crossroads League provides one of the most unique opportunities. And if any one of these schools comes and knocks on your door, it may not be your first choice, but trust me, if you listen and
Yeah.
you take the time and you dig in, it will be one of the best decisions you ever made.
I love it.
That I can guarantee you.
You're gonna play competitive ball. You're gonna get a world-class education. You're gonna be around amazing people. So as we kind of wind it down for all those folks out there, look, a lot of our listeners are local, which makes sense. We've had lots of local guests here, and so they already are well in tune with your league. For everybody else out there, all across the country, all across the world, how can they follow some of your, you got a bunch of championships up. Kind of give me a preview of what's coming the next like few weeks and months in the Crossroads League, and how can people tune in to watch some pretty unbelievable athletic competition.
Go to crossroadsleague.com. Number one, that'll tell you everything. We didn't even get to talk about our Jesus One Day. All 20
It's
teams
a kind
out
of
there
special thing.
competing, everybody wearing Jesus One, 10 great testimonies. Go back and look at it. You can see it. It's great. It's on the website. It talks about what we did and how we did it. It was beautiful. Generated by our student athletes, not the commissioner. I just supported it. We got wonderful kids who said, "Hey, let's really get this out there." It's an unbelievable day. 2,000 t-shirts sold. It was great. All right. That's it. We got men's and women's basketball championships. Last game of our regular season is Saturday. We're just kind of outlining where the seeding is going to be. We always play at the highest seeds. Quarterfinals are Tuesday and Wednesday for the women, well, Tuesday women, Wednesday men, Friday, Saturday, and then Monday and Tuesday are the championships of the following week. Then we roll right into cheer championships are going to be Friday and Saturday next week as well. Our indoor league championship, indoor track and field, is this Friday and Saturday as well. So the next
Awesome.
couple of weeks are going to be big, a lot of fun. Great to see our athletes go out and perform. And again, what you'll see again when the indoor track meet is at the beginning of the indoor track meet and at the end of the track meet. I guarantee you'll see this. One of my favorite things about indoor and outdoor track and cross country, every athlete gets together in the middle, and one kid gets in front and prays that group together. It's
Yeah.
absolutely my favorite part. So yeah, check us out. You can find out all of the details, crossroadsleague.com. It's a great place to continue to follow us. And I'm not great on Twitter and Instagram and all that, but
We'll
definitely go to there.
get into the Crossroads League. Well, I will just tell you that your league is having a massive impact nationwide, especially in our community. I'm incredibly blessed to coach young girls who, by their own choice, pray before every game, and they don't want to do it in the locker room. They want to do it right out on the court. There's a big huddle. Drop to a knee, they have their arm in arm. And I do think a lot of that boldness and even the idea is planted from what they see in the Crossroads League, because it's trickled down into our high schools. You see it at Warsaw and Northridge and Northwood, and our girls see that as well. And so just thank you for everything that you guys are doing. It's a blast to follow your league. We're gonna have tons and tons and tons of great Crossroad League guests. So go through the archives. We probably have a dozen people on here with Crossroad League connections. We got a bunch coming up over the next couple months. But until next time, because I got a feeling we're gonna do this again, Larry. Thank you so much. I'm sure you guys enjoyed the commish. And yeah, best of luck to you. We're going to be praying for you and all your member institutions, and just keep doing incredible things. Thank you.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. My pleasure, Chris. Thanks for inviting me on. It's been awesome.
All right.
Thanks for
Thanks.
what
Have a
you do,
great
too.
day.
Thanks for what you
Oh,
do.
thank you. I appreciate it. We're having a blast. All right. Thanks, commish, and have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Playing Faith Podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit PlanFaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just the voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.